doing. Sometimes for work, you find yourselves doing a busy time as the spring and summer within the Messianic Jewish community. This last week, I was in Connecticut because in addition to being the rabbi here, I serve on the faculty. I'm an adjunct faculty member of the Messianic Jewish Theological Institute, our graduate school, kind of our seminary. And so I was there for the graduation as well as the annual meetings of the Messianic Jewish Rabbinical Council, of which I currently serve as vice president. And so it was a great opportunity to not only to interact with colleagues, but it's an important reminder of the task and the role in which we are part of a community that is much bigger than ourselves. And that's why we've been encouraging so much the last couple weeks to take advantage of the opportunity that the UMJC conference is going to be in Los Angeles this year. And that why we're not even going to have a service is not only since it's just going to be in Woodland Hills up the road, but to be a part of something bigger than just this one congregation. To be able to see like what's happening around the world in Messianic Jewish community. So the book of Numbers, this week we started a new book of the Torah, right? We began reading from the book of Numbers. And the book of Numbers begins with God telling Moses to take a census of the entire assembly of Israel. This census is where the book gets its name, Numbers. It's called Numbers because they immediately begin with numbers of the census of the community. And in Exodus 1, verse 2, we read, Se'u et rosh kol edat b'nei Israel l'mishpachotam. Take a census of the entire assembly of Israel according to their families. The Torah then goes on to describe in detail the result of the census. This act of counting individuals seems quite trivial. Additionally, the census seems to appear out of nowhere, right? You're reading through Exodus, and we're talking about the building of the tabernacle, and then all of a sudden, there's a census. So what are we supposed to make of this? What is the purpose of this particular census? The Hebrew of the text provides an answer. The literal translation of the phrase, take a census, se'u et rosh, literally means lift up the head. So we often translate it, take a census, but it literally means lift up the head, to raise the head. According to Hasidic thought, the purpose of the census was to reach out to the core of the Jewish soul. When each person is counted, everyone is equal. Each person counts as only one count. No one is counted twice and nobody is skipped. The census was meant to even the playing field and show equality and the value of every single individual. One life is not worth more than another. Each person has purpose, and each person counts. This idea of holiness is emphasized in the encampment of Israel around the tabernacle, which we also read about in this week's Torah portion. The way that not only the Levites and the way they were broken up by clans and what they would be doing, but then the way the camp was supposed to be set up around the tabernacle. The 13th century Jewish sage, Ramban Nachmanides, noticed clear parallels between the mitzvot surrounding the tabernacle and the revelation of Sinai, which is what tomorrow is all about. According to the Ramban, as Sinai represented the place of God's manifest presence, so too the tabernacle represented God's presence on earth. And just as this people camped about the base of Mount Sinai, so too did the tribes camp around the tabernacle, symbolizing the centrality of God's presence among the people of Israel. During the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, the Jewish people entered into a profound covenant with God. The symbolism between a Jewish wedding and the giving of the Torah further solidifies this understanding. By making the tabernacle central to the people of Israel, geographically and conceptually, it solidified the Jewish commitment to the centrality of the Torah. Tonight begins Shavuot, when we relive and re-experience the awesomeness of the Sinai experience. When we celebrate the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, the incarnation and indwelling of the Torah in a greater manifest way through Yeshua, and the affirmation of all of this through the greater outpouring of God's Spirit. That's what we celebrate on Shavuot. These three aspects. One is the giving of the initial Torah, the giving of the living Torah, right? Even though that wasn't, the incarnation didn't happen exactly on Shavuot, but the concepts and everything are there. But then we also celebrate the outpouring of the Ruach in a greater manifest way than previously existed that we read about in Acts chapter 2. Shavuot is not just when we received our calling and the instructions for how to live our lives as Jews. Sinai was also a moment of dignity when God lifted up our heads. It's this when we say Avadim Hayinu during Passover, right? Once we were slaves and now we were free. After being delivered as slaves, God brought us into the desert and he raised us up. He gave us dignity and purpose. There can be something powerful about a document. A simple piece of paper can provide dignity, recognition, and empowerment. This is what the Torah did for the Jewish people. Think about it. Think about what documents do for us. A ketubah, this marriage document, now places you in a different type of status, not only with God, but with a community, right? That through a piece of paper and a ceremony, you now move from one identity to another. What about the Constitution of the United States? It was through a document that we established ourselves as a government and as a people, that we're able to self-rule ourselves without having to be under the authority of a distant king. What about even citizenship or immigration documents? With or without these documents, your life can be totally different, right? It doesn't matter even what you feel. Is that a document can really change the perspective of the way people see you and your place within a community. Even a get, a writ of divorce, is a document that'll change your life. I remember when I was ordained as a rabbi. Like before, many of you were here in 2007 when I received my rabbinical licensing, and then 2010 I received my ordination, and then my second rabbinical ordination in 2011. But really, once I was ordained and received my Teudat Smicha, my ordination certificate, my life was different. And it's hard to even fathom what documents do to you. Before, I was just Joshua, right? But then all of a sudden you receive this Teudat Smicha, this ordination certificate, and not only does the community view you differently, but you have a different role before God. A document can change your life. I was thinking about these graduates that I was watching, former student, rabbinical students of mine, as they were graduating last week, and thinking about when they receive their diploma, something changes in the way that we perceive them. And they're not just students anymore, but they're colleagues, right? As a couple of those graduates are now soon to receive ordination or did receive ordination and join us and our ranks as rabbis. At Sinai, God didn't just give us a list of rules. He lifted our heads and he gave us dignity and purpose. When Hashem gave us the Torah, he made it official. We are his people and he is our God. The lesson of this week's parasha, and one of the lessons of Shavuot, is that you matter. This Shavuot, God wants to raise you up out of the dust and tell you that you are special and how much he cares. You have not been skipped. You have not been forgotten. Rather, Shavuot reminds us that not only do we have dignity and purpose as a people, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Just as he had called and had a purpose for a people, he has a purpose for each and every one of us as individuals. And through the expansion of that kingdom that we read about in Acts 15 and Ephesians 2, that then brought those who were distant near. The Gentiles now are able to share in the blessings of Israel. On Shavuot, the centrality of Torah underscores the emphasis for our need of the living Torah, Yeshua, dwelling in, through, and among the nation of Israel, within each one of us, and within the entire world. God is at work this Shavuot to lift up our heads and speak life into us. Shavuot is one of the Shalosh Regalim. It's one of the three pilgrimage festivals. It's one of the top three, right? In which, in biblical times, you were expected to go to and make an appearance in Jerusalem. This is why in Acts chapter 2, there were Jews from all throughout the world who spoke multiple kinds of languages, because they were all gathered together for the pilgrimage festival. Shavuot is an important holiday. Tomorrow, we're going to be having a service at 11 a.m. here, in which we'll be going through not only the liturgy, but we'll be doing something that we always do on Shavuot, which is the reading of the Ten Commandments. And it's an opportunity that when we all stand during this reading, it's the one time in the synagogue service that we actually stand during the Torah reading, is because it's a reaffirmation of our commitment to God. And as we always do, that we'll be taking time during the service to recommit ourselves to following God's ways, to renewing not only the covenant that we have as a people, but renewing our own individual commitment to that covenant. I really encourage you to be here. But if you take anything away from anything this weekend, it's this idea that God wants to raise you up and lift up your head. That there's so much in our world that wants to beat us down, that wants to press us down, to make us feel like we don't belong, that we don't matter, whatever it is. But as Elizabeth so eloquently mentioned earlier, we don't live in the world's economy. We are just sojourners here in this world, and we can't ever forget it. So there are times that God decides, I'm going to take a moment to remind you that you don't belong to the world, you belong to God. And God says, I want to lift up your head and give you dignity and respect and purpose and life, and life more abundantly. Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, you are so great, and it's easy to feel so small, and yet we have your attention. On Shavuot, I pray, God, that you would raise us up to remind us that no matter what we think about ourselves, there is a greater reality which is even more true. And that reality is, if we are followers of Yeshua, we are seated in heavenly places. God, I pray that as we celebrate and we relive the giving of the Torah on Shavuot tomorrow, that you would renew that covenant within each and every one of us. That you would help this year to not just be like another Shavuot, but that this year something special would happen in each and every one of us, to realize that you are at work within us to accomplish your purposes. And that purpose is not even really about us. It's about us being tools to change the world, to prepare the world for Malchut Shemayim, the kingdom of heaven. Bless us, our Father, all of us as one with the light of your countenance. May that Torah and the Orah, the Or, the light of Mashiach, burn within us so that we can show the way of the Lord. We pray all of this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Please rise for the Aleinu.